Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
On this Father's Day 2020, I wanted to take a moment to encourage all the fathers out there. I think everybody can pull something from this message, but I'm laser focused in on my dads today because I just want to encourage them in the days and times that we live in. And on this Father's Day, if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you, go get your Bibles, get your sword. You cannot fight the enemy without the proper weapon. Grab your notebooks. You say, why you take notes? Notes may not help you right now, but they're going to point you back to a place in this word that will bless you when you need it the most. And if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to read a story out of the New Testament. I love this passage, Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 24. And if you have it, I'm reading out of the NIV, but Mark 9, 14 through 24 reads something like this. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Man, Jesus was a celebrity. His disciples were out there doing miracles, but the religious right of the day would always try to trip up his disciples. And that's what was happening right here. They start to question them because they didn't walk in the same power and authority that Jesus did. And then Jesus comes on the scene and everything changes. Verse 16 says, what are you arguing about? He asked. That's what Jesus was asking. Verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Wow. Oh, unbelieving generation. I love Jesus' response. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Let me tell you something. I don't care. There's not a demon in hell that could stand up to the power of Jesus. Just the very sight of him, just the very mention of his name, demons will run and flee in the name of Jesus. Verse 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Listen to Jesus' response in verse 23. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief. Today, if you're taking notes on this Father's Day, entitle this message something simple, and I hope that it blesses your heart. Today, I want to talk about the unknown Father. The unknown Father. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I know and I pray that before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that would be accessing this message today online, Lord. And I pray that you would open up hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to a word that's always about Jesus. May I lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words come from me, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I pray that every father out there is encouraged by this message. And God, I pray for the one that is so far from you today. Let them know they have a heavenly Father that loves them more than life itself. I pray by the time this is all said and done, somebody meets Jesus. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. One more time, Cool Church, like we always do. Let's take about 5 seconds and let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Woo! Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Got to give him thanks every time we can, because without him, we have nothing. Amen. The unknown father. Well, if I could be really transparent with you, if I could just be real with y'all for a moment, being a dad in 2020 is tough. It's really hard. And if I can be honest, I don't even always feel like I'm doing it right. I know I'm supposed to be, you know, the pastor, and I know I'm supposed to have all this stuff figured out. But man, if I could just be real honest, being a dad is hard. And like, honestly, most times I'm like, I'm messing this up. I really think like I'm messing this up. Like I'm not always good with helping my daughter with homework. Like, I like to think I'm smart. She just graduated the fourth grade, praise God. But like, I'm the dad that didn't know the answers. Like, I had to Google some of the stuff in her workbooks, because I'm like, man, they didn't teach this kind of stuff in fourth grade when I was in fourth grade. I'm like, man, like, I know there's dads that know this stuff. Like, what's wrong with me? Or I'm not the dad that like wants to go outside and play all the time. Like, I ain't gonna lie, man. Like, if I went inside and played all day, like, my child will wear me out. Like, she wants to go at all times 100%. And if I could just be honest, like, I'd be tired. Like, I'm not the dad that always gives the best advice. I'm sure I probably given my child some terrible advice at times. Not wanting that to be my intention, but man, like, your kids expect you to know everything. And I'm a dad that will often admit, like, baby girl, you know what? I really don't know. I don't always have all the answers. And if I could be honest, we're living in a time where people are so mentally exhausted. Like, I'm over 2020 already. Like, I've been over 2020, and it's exhausting to have to carry the mantle of father in a season like this. And if I could be honest, because I am so mentally and often physically tired, like, I don't even feel like I'm always giving my best as a dad. I wanted you to hear me say that, because I know that I'm not the only dad out there that feels like that. If I could be honest, like, I can admit to you, and I am humbled by the fact that I often get exhausted trying to be a father, but I wonder if there's any other dads out there that feel the way I feel. Like, not only are you trying to be a father, but you're trying to keep food on your table. You're trying to pay the bills. You are trying your best not only to be a father and a breadwinner, you are also trying to be a great husband and still trying to be the fun dad that you know you could be. But sometimes you just get so, so tired. It's hard to keep the family afloat in 2020. Is there anybody else out there that can feel me? Dads, I know you're tired. I know you're underappreciated, but I just want to say this message, and I want you to hear me today and know that this is true. Dads, we see you, and I want you to hear it from me. Thank you. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not letting your family down. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for pressing forward. Thank you for staying in the fight. Nobody else may tell you, but today I want to tell you, Dad, thank you. You see, what I'm very exhausted by is things that I hear, comments that I hear in society that I just know aren't true. I hate hearing that, oh, there's no good men, where the good fathers at. That's not true. I know plenty of good men. I mean, like I don't have time to mention all the good men that I know, but I will name a few, because maybe they don't even know it and I want them to hear it, but I believe that they should be acknowledged. I thank God for fathers like Donovan and Ben and Danny and Hector and Clarence and Rodney and Corenzo and John and TJ and Andre and Jason and Dale, Ishmael, Prince, Lalu, Jimmy, Leo, Greg, Frankie, Israel, and Rudy. Don't tell me there's no good dads, because I know a bunch of them. I don't want to hear there's no good men, because we got some great men at Cool Church. So I'm going to pause the message right now. So one more time, if you got a good man and a good dad by you, you need to stand up and give that man a round of applause, because the world will try to tear him down. But it is my job as a pastor and as a man of God to build that man back up. I don't want to hear there's no good men, because I know a lot of good men. Gentlemen, the ones that I mentioned and the ones that I don't know, I am proud of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now you say, I don't know those names that you mentioned. Sure, of course. Everybody may not know those men, and everybody may not know men like that, but it's probably because they don't take moments to post how great of a dad that they are on Instagram. And there's probably a few reasons for that. One, they might not know how to use it. That's true. Two, they don't have time to use it. But three, they know that a picture does not do justice to how great of a father that they are. There's dudes out there that's posting pictures but ain't doing the work. But I acknowledge these men, because you may never see a photo, you may never see a post, but their children will tell you how awesome they are. Today, I want to encourage the men that are fathers that no one ever sees, that no one ever talks about. And I want to say to you, I see you, and God the Father is so, so proud of you. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again, because we don't hear it enough. Men, we see you, and God is so, so proud of you. I've often found that the best dads aren't the ones that everybody's talking about, because they're doing their jobs quietly. As a matter of fact, you'll probably talk about their children more than them, because they know it is their job to push their children forward, and they don't mind sitting in the background, because those unseen dads, they know that it's not about them. Mark 9 tells us the story of such a dad. And today I want to tell you the story of the unknown father. The unknown father. Those are the dads that I want to talk about today. And if you go back to Mark chapter 9, as we've been reading, starting at verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes them, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." I love this, because the verse starts out by saying, "A man." So what does that tell us? We don't know this man's name. We don't know where this man comes from. We don't know anything about this man, except for the fact that this man was a father. A man speaks up, and he brought his son. So we don't know this man's history, but we do know that this man is a father. Dads, I want to tell you something today. Your name may not go down in the history books, but what you do for your kids will make history. God thought that this man, a man that is nameless, was so important that we might not have gotten his name, but we hear what he was willing to do for his child. We've all heard about it for centuries because we read this book. His name may not have been important, but what he did for his child was so important that God thought that we should read about it through all of history in the good book called his word. And I love that, because men, we don't have to know you to know that what you are doing is great. I love this because this man's actions were so powerful, and it teaches us the first lesson about the unknown father, which is this. Unknown fathers give their children a voice. I'm going to say it again just in case you didn't catch it, and I'm going to explain it. Unknown fathers give their children a voice. Look what the Bible says. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit and it robbed him. It robbed him of his what? His speech." This unknown man brings his son to Jesus because he wants his son to get a voice that he never had before. I love how the King James Version says it. He actually calls it a dumb spirit. This spirit deprived the son with the power to speak. Let me tell you something. Unknown fathers, men that we don't know your name, but you're great dads. Let me tell you something. It is your job to give your children a voice, because there are plenty of spirits that want to take your child's voice away. There's a spirit of classism that will try to place your children in poverty to silence them. There's a spirit of sexism that wants to keep your daughters behind so that they receive less money for the same work in order to silence them. There's a spirit of racism that will try to tell your kids that they are less than equal in order to silence them. There's a spirit of learning disabilities that will tell your kids that they're not smart in order to silence them. There's a spirit of depression that will tell your kids that they are worthless in order to silence them. And as a father, it is your job to stand up and say, no, I'm gonna fight this because my child deserves a voice. I'm not just gonna let my kids stay this way because I know this is not the way that they are supposed to be. Just because your child's been a certain way for so long doesn't mean that they have to stay that way, but it requires a man, it requires a dad, it requires a father who takes the job into his own hands to say, I'm gonna keep searching, I'm gonna keep believing, and I'm gonna keep fighting to give my child a voice. If you don't fight for your child's ability to speak up in this world, who will? In 2020, now more than ever, I am fighting so that my daughter has a voice. And I want you to hear me loud and clear. The world is trying to shut us up, but we got to fight so that our kids know they have the right to live, they have the right to be equal, and they have the right to speak up because they have the right to a voice. Don't let your child learn silence from you when it was your job to give them a voice. The unknown father's job is to make sure that their children have a voice. But here's the other thing about unknown fathers. Unknown fathers protect the lives of their children. Oh my goodness, I want y'all to hear me today. Unknown fathers protect the lives of their children. Look what Mark chapter 9, verses 21 through 22 says. It says, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? Look at the man's response. From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. I read this passage, and based on the text that I just read, there's a few things that I pull out from it. One, we don't really know how old this boy is, but we do know from the time he is a young man to being growing to be the boy that he is, we know that he had a constant issue. An issue that did not stop. There was a spirit in him that continually stopped him from living the best life that he should live. We know that. We don't know how long, but we know that it was for some time, and we know that it was constant. But here's the second thing that we pick up from this text. It says, after Jesus asked, how long has he been like this? Listen to what the man answered. He says, it has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. So not only has this boy had a consistent problem for a time, but secondly, this demon has tried to kill him often, but did not succeed. Listen to what I just said. This demon has been trying to kill this child for his whole life, but it did not succeed. You know what I ask myself when I read that? How many times did this little boy get thrown into the fire? And how many times did his father literally have to stick his hand in the fire to pull him out? You know what I asked myself? How many times was this little boy thrown into the water, a lake, or whatever the body of water is, and the father had to jump in to take this boy out, possibly do some kind of CPR to this boy? We don't know what the father had to do in order for this little boy to stay alive. You know how I know this man was a good father? Because time and time again, the enemy tried to kill him, but did not succeed. Before this little boy ever came to Jesus for a healing, we had a good father that preserved that little boy's life from the fire and from the water. He's protecting him from his entire life from something that wanted to kill him. Dads, it may take you a while to get your kids to Jesus, but until then, it is your job to protect them at all costs from all the things that will try to take their life away from them. How will your child ever stand a chance to make it to Jesus if you don't protect them from anything that's not Jesus? Racism wants to kill your kids. Drugs want to kill your kids. Bad relationships want to kill your kids. Depression wants to kill your kids. Lustful desires and confusion want to kill your kids. But your job as a father is to come between the enemy and your children, because if you can just get your kids into the hands of Jesus, he can stop the enemy attacks in an instant. That's why the Bible says things like, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because I'm telling you, you can protect your kids all you want, but the greatest protection you can give for your kids is Jesus. That's why Joshua can stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because he knew that if he could just get his kids to understand that there was a God in heaven that loved them, it would not matter how many times the enemy tried to kill them, because their faith in Jesus, their faith in the Father would protect them from everything that the enemy would try to do to kill them. That's why, men, it is our job to teach our kids the name of Jesus, to teach our kids that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run into it and they are saved. I'm gonna protect my daughter from whatever I can in this world, but the greatest protection I can give my daughter is to believe in the name of Jesus. Because when I'm not there to protect her, I know that when she calls on Jesus, he will go before her, he will stand beside her, he will be behind her, so that when the fiery darts of the enemy come, they will be blocked at every turn and at every space by the name of Jesus. Fathers, it is our job to protect our kids. And the greatest way we can protect our kids is by getting them to Jesus. And finally, the unknown father doesn't just fight for the voice of his child, and the unknown father does not just fight to protect the lives of their children, but finally, the unknown father will fight for their faith. Unknown fathers, listen to me. You must fight for your faith. Look at what the Bible says in Mark 9:23. It says, if you can, says Jesus. Boy, the man said, if you have pity on us, help us if you can. Jesus says, if, like, I love Jesus, because what he's really saying is like, do you know who I am? Like, you can't be serious. Do you really understand who I am? If you can, said Jesus. He says, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Man, this is probably one of the most real statements in the Bible, because this is not Christianese. This is not I'm blessed and highly favored. This is I do believe, but Jesus, could you please help me overcome my unbelief? If anybody in the world can understand that statement, it's me. Yeah, I sit here as your pastor today, and I know I'm a man that should be full of faith, and I got faith, man. I believe. But often in my own time of prayer to God and conversation, I say, God, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. There are a lot of things that I believe, but I don't always believe they'll happen for me. That's really what that statement means. I got faith. I believe. I just don't always believe it's going to happen for me. I've told the story many times, and I'm still living the story. But my wife and I, for the 13 years that we've been married, we've always wanted children. And for 13 years, man, we just believe that we're going to have a lot of beautiful children. If you ask me, I want a basketball team in Jesus' name, but it hadn't worked out that way. For the first 8 years of our marriage, desperate, we didn't know what else to do. We said, God, do you want this to happen to us? Like, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. And 8 years in, we adopted a beautiful baby girl. She's my baby girl. Nobody could take her away from me. Valencia Wilson. She's been a dream. She's 10 now, man. Double digits. She's walking around. She thinks she's like a little grown lady, man. I love it. I love her. But I would be lying to you if I told you that I'm good. We don't have no kids. I'm good. No, man. Like there is still a desire in my heart and in my wife's heart to bear children. Baba's always going to be a Wilson. She's always going to be our baby girl. But I would be lying to you if I said that I didn't want more kids. And if I could be honest, I know God can make it happen. I know he can. Because I've seen it happen for others. But I'm not always certain it's going to happen for me. It's the realest thing I can tell you. Like I've seen so many friends of mine who have dealt with infertility issues and, you know, on the 7th year, on the 8th year, on the 9th year, it's like, yeah, God did it. But we're in year 13. Still hasn't happened. I want to be transparent with you and I want to be open with you because I believe God can do it. I just don't always believe it's going to happen for me. See, that man knew that Jesus had power to heal his son, but he didn't necessarily believe that he would do it for him. And dads, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting and believing the best for your family, because here's the truth. If you believe Jesus can do it, then trust me when I tell you, he wants to do it for you. I'm not really preaching to you today. I'm preaching to myself. I know in my heart of hearts that Jesus can do it, and I'm fighting for the faith to believe that he will, in Jesus' name, do it for me. There are dads out there right now. You're trying to hold on, and you know God is real, but you're in need of a miracle. I'm here to tell you, fathers, people out there listening to me, you gotta have faith, Dad. You gotta have faith, because not only is Jesus real, he wants to do it for you, and he wants you to grow such a faith inside of you that he uses that faith as the conduit to do it. Because dads, it's not just enough for you to believe in Jesus, but you gotta fight for faith for you and for your entire family. That is the purpose of a father today. And here's the thing that's beautiful about this story. If I keep reading, we know the little boy got healed. The demon had to leave the boy, and the boy was normal. And I believe that that is an awesome miracle, but I don't even believe that that was the greatest thing that happened that day. The greatest thing that happened, other than the physical healing of that boy, is that child was able to bear witness to a real hard-fought faith that he saw in his father. I'm not talking about the faith of a mom today, because we preach that a lot. Oh, mom's been praying. Grandma's been praying. What I'm preaching today is that that boy, he might not have been able to speak, but he could see his father bring him to Jesus. And he could see his father say, I believe, but help my unbelief. And he could see his father fight through his unbelief in order to get a miracle. Men, I'm trying to tell you today, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is to allow them to see you fight for that faith. Kids can get a lot from you. You can give them gifts. You can give them hugs. You can give them smiles. But the greatest thing that you can give them is faith in Jesus. For every father out there today, I just want you to hear the words of the Lord that I know he's speaking to your heart, because I know he's speaking to mine. You're doing better than you think you are. You're doing so much better than you think you are. I know you believe. Today, I want to help your unbelief, like I'm trying to speak to mine. You're doing better than you think you are. All you got to do is have faith in Jesus. You got to fight for that faith, because not only can he do it, he will do it. But I know some of you hear this message today and you're like, man, you've been so zeroed in on dads. And this is a hard message for me to process, because I can't relate to this story, because the father I know, he tried to silence me when he should have given me a voice. The father I know, he never protected me the way that he should have. And the father I know never had any faith to believe for a better life for me. That may be the father you know, but I want to tell you today about the unknown father. Hear me, friends. The father you knew may not have done the job well, but there's a father that you don't know, and you may not know it, but your heavenly father, he loves you more than life itself. And 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We live in a world that is suffering right now because it does not know there's a Father in heaven that loves them. But I want you to hear, the person that's listening to this, that's watching this, that may have been mistreated by your father, that might have been abandoned by your father, there's a God in heaven, a creator God that loves you. And this word that I read tells me he's a father to the fatherless. And if you want to know the unknown father today, your heavenly father, all you got to do is accept his son Jesus, who loved you so much, he was willing to give his life for you because he loves you. Your earthly father may not have been there, but your heavenly father is a father to the fatherless. And today, you can choose him. And all you got to do is accept Jesus. For every man out there, every father, I want to encourage your faith. You're doing better than you think you are. All the unknown dads, you're doing better than you think you are. But for all those that don't know a father, there's an unknown father, a heavenly father that loves you more than life itself. And he wants to know you today, and he wants you to know him. So how do I know the unknown father? All you got to do is accept him through his son, Jesus. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart he was raised from the dead, you're saved. Everybody within the sound of my voice, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to know the unknown Father today, your heavenly Father, if you want to be called son and daughter, all you got to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're out there in the sound of my voice, you want to accept Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Doesn't matter who's looking. And at the end of the day, I can't see you, but God can. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. I want to accept Jesus. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know the unknown Father. I want to know my heavenly Father like never before. That's you. Raise the hand up. Raise it up. Raise it up right now. Raise it up. Hallelujah. Thank God. I know there's somebody out there in the sound of my voice that received that. Now all you got to do is take the next step. Pray this prayer with me. Confess and believe. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart, the Bible says you're saved. I want everybody in the sound of my voice, repeat after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned, not proud of it, but I admit it. Today, I lay my sin down. Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to receive your forgiveness and take the place of my sin. I ask that you would accept me into your wonderful family. Today, I give my life completely to you. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." Amen. Man, if you said that, my goodness gracious, you are a son or a daughter to the greatest father in all of existence, our Father God in heaven. And I'm so proud of you. Hey, if you made that decision, maybe in the chat box or in the comment, you want to let people know you made that decision. There's a button that you can press that shows a little hand that goes up depending on the chat that you're on. And you can also text the word to the number on the screen right now. And we're going to connect with you because we're proud of you about the awesome decision that you made to meet Jesus today. Man, here's what I always do. I can't show you what's happening in heaven right now, but there's a party happening in your honor right now. I promise you, angels are breakdancing, the choir is singing, Jesus is clapping, your heavenly Father is standing on his feet saying, well done, my son, my daughter. Can't show you, but I want to help you hear what it sounds like. So family out there, you know we always do this. We love to celebrate people. Start hitting those hearts, start hitting those claps, start getting in the comments, start shouting people down. And on the count of three, we're going to scream as loud as we can for those folks that just got invited to the family. Here we go. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you for the new brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Thank you for those that found out they got a heavenly Father today in Jesus' name. Man, I'm so proud of y'all. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for being a part of this family, but you're part of a bigger family, the family of heaven, and we love you. Once again, follow the prompts on the screen if you want to connect to this family. That's what we are about here at Cool Church. Hey, I want to say it again for all my unknown fathers out there. People may not see you, but God sees you and he is proud of you. Dads, I love you. Hey, if you got a dad in your life, man, maybe he's not the father of origin, but maybe he's even a father of choice, man. You hug him, you love him, you call him today, you text him, you say, I love you, Dad. I promise you, it will mean the world to them. Man, dads, once again, love you. I'm proud of you. Cool fam, I miss you more than you know. Can't wait until I see you again. I promise you, it won't be long. But until then, we're going to continue to connect with the fam all over the world virtually. You are awesome. Hey, if you like this message, hit the share button. Send it to another dad. Share it with them on the social media platform so that they can be encouraged by a positive word about fathers too. With that being said, I'm going to bless you out. And then Stacy's going to come up to give you a little more information before we go. Father God, I thank you for the greatest family in the world, a family of Cool Church. Bless them as they rise up, as they lie down, as they go out, as they come in their labor and in their leisure. God, surround them with your presence. And God, I pray a special blessing to every dad out there today. I pray that he is celebrated today and that he knows we are proud of him and we see him. God bless my family till I get to see him again. Keep them in good health in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, family. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.